The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter number 46, Texts number 2, 3 and 4, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 2nd, 2012, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tam Ah Bhagavan Prishtam Bhaktam Ekantinam Kvachit Grihitva Panina Panim Prapana Arti Hara Hari Tamaha Bhagavan Preshtang Bhaktam Ekantinam Kvachit Grahitva Panina Panin Prabhanarti Haro Hari Tamaha Bhagavan Preshtang Bhaktam ekantinam kvachit Krahitva panina panin Prapanarti haro hari Tam to him Ah spoke Bhagavan the Supreme Lord Preshtam to his most dear Bhaktam devotee Ekantinam exclusive Kvachit on one occasion Grihitva taking Panina with his hand Panim Uddhava's hand And prapana of those who surrender. Arti, the distress. Hara, who takes away. Hari, Lord Hari. Translation by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord Hari, who relieves the distress of all who surrender to Him. Once took the hand of his fully devoted dearmost friend Uddhava and addressed him as follows. Gatshodhava vrajang saumya pitro na pitram avaha kopinang mad viyogading mat sandeshair vimochaya. My dear gentle Uddhava, go to Vraj and give pleasure to our parents and also relieve the gopis suffering in separation from me by giving them my message. Tanma manaksha matprana madarte chakta dai hika mam eva dayatam prishtam atmanang manasagata yetakta lokadharmascha madarte tan vibarmyaham. The minds of those gopis are always absorbed in me, and their very lives are ever devoted to me. For my sake, they have abandoned everything related to their bodies, renouncing ordinary happiness in this life, as well as religious duties necessary for such happiness in the next life. I alone am their dearmost beloved, and indeed, their very self. Therefore, I take it upon myself to sustain them in all circumstances. Purport. Here the Lord explains why he wants to send a special message to the gopis. According to the Vaishnava Acharyas, the word dahika, related to the body, refers to husbands, children, homes, and so on. The gopis loved Krishna so intensely that they could think of nothing else. Since Sri Krishna maintains ordinary devotees engaged in sadhana bhakti, devotional service and practice, he will certainly maintain the gopis, his most exalted devotees.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Danvitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivishakandritamscha.
Just see how kind is Krishna. He can never forget the gopis. And we think about the devastation experienced by the Brijabasis when Krishna left Vraj never to return. Doesn't it break the heart? You think about those poor Brijabasis. It was a pain worse than death for them to be separated from Krishna. So why does it say in the scripture, Vrindavanam Padinyaja Napada Ekam Gachati? Why does it say that? Vrindavanam Padinyaja. We know that word Padinyaja, right? Sarvadharman Padinyaja. Abandoning. Vrindavanam Padinyaja, not. Abandoning Vrindavan, not. Vrindavanam Padinyaja. See, Sanskrit is backwards to English. Vrindavanam paditjaja na pada foot ekam one gachati, he goes. So Vrindavan abandoning, Vrindavanam paditjaja, not foot one he goes. Or in other words, Krishna never sets even one foot outside of Vrindavan in proper English, you see. So how can we say Vrindavanam Padijaja Napada Ekam Gachati, when we know for a fact that Krishna got on that chariot and he went to Mathura and he never came back? How we can say that Krishna never left? I'll tell you. The gopis enjoyed so many, and the gopas, all of them, the cows, the calves, the flutes, the butterflies, the peacocks, the cuckoos, the mango trees, the papaya trees, and the bamboo trees, the Jamuna, the earth. Everyone enjoyed so much nectar in Krishna's association when he was there in Vraj. So much nectar. I mean, they were just completely enchanted by Krishna. Even the cows, even the animals, they would freeze. And the deer would go into, they would just like become like statues in ecstasy to see Krishna. I mean, everybody was completely in ecstasy. And now when Krishna is gone, they're in a state worse than death. They're so devastated, it is worse than death. So how is Krishna present then? Because of every single Brijabasi had such intense love for Krishna that Krishna becomes a prisoner in their hearts. You see? Shri Shri Radha Goloka Nanda Ki Jai. Thank you, Krishna and Radha for blessing us with your darshan. We're trying to understand your Vrindavan pastime a little bit today. Please bless us, and we can do so nicely. So, the gopis, the gopas, Nanda, Yashoda, all the Brijabasis, animate and inanimate. Actually, there's no one inanimate. Everything in Goloka Vrindavan is animate. Actually, they're all human beings, but they take different forms to participate in Krishna's pastimes in various ways. They all have human consciousness. Everything has human consciousness. But some take the form of a peacock, some take the form of a flute, however they can serve Krishna in the best possible way. Everyone takes a form, you see. Just like we see Jamuna Devi, Kalindi, she's a female, but she takes the form of a river to serve Krishna in a very special, intimate way, you see. So every single aspect of Vrindavan, they all have human consciousness. And they take these various forms to serve Krishna in various ways according to what satisfies the Lord most. They say, well, Gopi Bhava is the best and everybody should aspire to be a gopi, but it doesn't work out that way, because if everybody was a gopi, then they can't be any gopis. You understand what I'm saying? What does gopi mean? A cowherd girl, right? If everybody is a gopi, that means there's no cows and they can't be gopis. So somebody has to want to be a cow and a calf, otherwise you can't have gopis and gopas. You can't have cowherd boys and cowherd girls if there are no cows. So some living entities have a sarup of being a cow in the pastimes of the Lord, or a calf. And they relish that as the sweetest nectar. Actually, the flute, for example, considers himself to be more fortunate than the gopis. He wouldn't trade being a flute for anything. Even though it's analyzed by the acharyas that Gopi Bhava is the most complete ras, that flute would never want to become a gopi. You see why? Because he thinks these gopis, they don't get Krishna's lips as much as I do. I get Krishna's lips more than the gopis. Therefore, I'm in a better position than the gopis. So no matter what your position is in Golok, everybody is completely satisfied that I'm in the best position. That rock where Krishna takes his lunch every day, he wouldn't trade being that rock for anything. You see, he would not trade that being that rock for anything. Then I'll become a gopi. I'm not happy being a rock. I want to be a gopi. No. He'll stay in that ras as a rock so Krishna can sit on him every day to take his lunch. It's the greatest bliss for him to be a seat for Krishna. So in this way, everyone relishes their particular relationship with Krishna in any one of five primary rasas. Now we also read about the seven secondary rasas in Prabhupada's books. Everybody has a position in one of the five rasas, everyone. But these secondary rasas are like spices for the sabji. You see? The primary rasas are mixed with the different secondary rasas to further enhance the sweetness and the flavor of the rasa. So anyway, back to Krishna leaving Vrindavan. That's what we're talking about. Krishna he cannot leave Vrindavan. Because all the Brijavasis, they are capturing Krishna within the heart. The original form of Krishna is fully captured within their heart. So therefore, Krishna can never leave Vrindavan. So why does he apparently leave? That's the question. Why would he do that? I mean, what's the point of it? The point is this. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Just like in the material world, I remember when I was a kid, there was a song on the top 40 radio I didn't know better in those days. Papa hadn't even come yet. You know, what could I have done? I didn't know what to do. I spent the whole summer listening to the top 40 hits, trying to win contests, you know, on the radio. I didn't know what else to do with my life. I was miserable. So I used to listen to these top 40 songs, and there was one song called Sealed with a Kiss. The boy's girlfriend is gone for the summer, you see. But every day he writes a letter and he seals it with a kiss. So when the girlfriend was present, he would express his love for her, but it was nothing like the expressions of love that went into those love letters every day when his girlfriend was far, far away from him. In other words, when you're separated from your beloved, then that love becomes more intense, you see. It becomes more intense. Therefore, Krishna, out of kindness upon the Vrijabasis, to increase the loving ecstasy of their Krishna prem, he apparently separated himself. So that intense love they're feeling now, it's amped up a million times, a billion times in Krishna's absence, you see. Absence makes the heart go fonder. So in this way, Krishna was very kind upon the Vrijabasis to make the apparent exodus from Vrindavan. And as we see, as we're reading in this chapter, Krishna, it was also increased his love for the Vrijabasis also. Now that he's separated, he's also feeling that those pangs of separation within his heart from them. So the Krishna's feelings of love and the Vrijabasis' feelings of love, they're both sides increasing. And when we read about it, our feelings of love also increase. And we think these pastimes are so amazing pastimes. The more we can meditate on these pastimes, read about them, talk about them, hear them, as so wonderfully revealed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we become more and more purified. Just by understanding this wonderful loving relationships between Krishna and the Vrijabasis, we become totally satisfied. This gives complete satisfaction to the self. Simply, Krishna Smaranam, you see, gives complete satisfaction. We don't need so much sense gratification. Whatever minimum is required, that's all right. But actually, you know what Prabhupada one time told us? He said, no eating and no sleeping, that is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Of course, because we have a material body, we require some eating, we require some sleeping. But actually, no eating, no sleeping, Prabhupada said, is the perfection of spiritual life. We don't need sense gratification. Only enough to keep the body healthy, that's all. But actually, the body will be finished today or tomorrow. So the only thing we really need is Krishna consciousness. That's the only thing we really need, Krishna consciousness. So therefore, we should always, every day, consider that the most important thing, not going out and earning money or getting a degree or this or that. Those things are secondary. They're related to the temporary body only. But the real necessity is to awaken our Krishna consciousness. Both things must be there, as confirmed in the Sri Upanishad. Vidyam cha vidyam yastad vedobhyam saha avidyayam ritam tirtva vidritam ritam ashnute. Only one who can cultivate nescience and transcendence side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and attain the full blessings of immortality. So both things are there, like on a train track, you know. You got two rails. We have vidya and avidya. Vidya, that's our Krishna consciousness. Avidya, that's by keeping his body and soul together. So both things are there. Both things are required, but we are already firmly rooted in the avidya side. We're already, as Vaisheshika Prabhu said, that is the default position. See, we're already firmly rooted in the default of vidya. Now we need to get into vidya, transcendental knowledge, you see. And the application of that transcendental knowledge, that application is called bhakti, bhakti yoga. So by seriously taking up this pathway of absorbing ourselves and hearing about the wonderful name, fame, forms, pastimes, entourage, friends, paraphernalia and dham of that amazing person who stands on the bank of Keshigad during the full moon night of the Sharad season and blowing the fifth note on his flute, wearing that peacock feather in his hair, in that beautiful yellow silk dhoti, is able to capture the hearts of everyone, you see. We have to simply dive deeper and deeper and deeper into that Krishna Smaranam. It is a very deep ocean. Actually, it is fathomless. There is no bottom to that ocean. So we should go deeper, 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 deeper through Hare Krishna mantra meditation, through reading the scriptures, through offering the arati, through preaching. All of these, through Harinams and Kirtan, all of these activities are simply meant to take us deeper and deeper into the nectarian ocean of Krishna Bhakti Rasamrita. The deathless nectarian ocean, Krishna Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That fathomless ocean of sweet, unlimited nectar of Krishna consciousness. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Everyone satisfied? Everyone now has a perfect understanding of the science of bhakti? There's no doubts lingering in the brain. You're not haunted by any doubts now. Everyone's fully convinced to completely surrender to Guru and Krishna. Or is there something holding you back? Yes, somebody may have to help me amplify it for me. Now she can say it out loud. And you can tell me what she said. Say it out loud. Go ahead. That's a very good question. How can we deepen our Krishna Smaranam? The first thing is rise early in the morning before sunrise. That's the first secret. Because the Brahma Muhurta hour, it is a perfect time for meditation, you see. Once the sun comes up, Rajaguna, you see. Go here, go there, make money, go to school, get my qualification and make money. It's all Rajaguna. Once that sun comes up, it's go, 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 you see. But before sunrise, that Brahma Muhurta is now, it's just meditation. This is the time to meditate, to go deep into Krishna Smaranam. And of course, in the, after the sun sets, and it's just tamagun, you know, nightclubs, cinemas, discotheques, liquor shops, like that. So take advantage. The first thing is rise early in the morning, before the sunrise, take your bath, decorate your body with tilak, put on devotional clothes, put yourself in a situation where you're totally geared up for deep meditation every morning. Then you can sing the Gravasakam prayers, offer an arati to Guru and Prabhupada. In this way, worship the spiritual master. Every day we should worship the spiritual master. Is that we have the Mangal Arati. Some other Gaudiyas, they criticize. There's one Gaudiya sannyasi who criticized ISKCON, that why are you coming before the deities and singing the Rivastakam prayers? He said, this is wrong. This is his nonsense, you see. He thinks he knows. Prabhupada told us to sing the Rivastakam prayers at Mangal Arati. Prabhupada knows exactly what we need to become Krishna conscious. There was another Gaudiya sannyasi, his name was Narayan Maharaj. He said, Prabhupada, this is not right. What Prabhupada did was wrong. See, this is why we don't go to Narayan Maharaj people. Because Narayan Maharaj said that Prabhupada was wrong. he had the audacity to criticize the greatest spiritual master in the history of the universe, saying that you should not sing Gravastakam prayers at Mangalarti in front of the deities. Just see what a rascal mentality, criticizing Prabhupada, Guru Aparad against Prabhupada. So we do that. We worship the spiritual master. Samsaradava naladita loka. Should go very deep to meditating on our spiritual master, Prabhupada, and our spiritual master in the early morning, and realize that my spiritual master is saving me from this material existence. Without him, I'm lost. So we should have that great, great feeling of gratitude for his Prabhupada and for our Diksha Gurus, you see, because they are taking the responsibility to save us from this material existence. So we should begin the day in that way, worshiping our spiritual master, worshiping our, if we have photographs of deities in our home, offering the arti, in this way, meditate on that beautiful form of the Lord, in either the deity or the photograph, and completely dive into this mood of, all I need is Krishna consciousness. I don't need anything except Krishna consciousness. And then chant our rounds with great attention, avoiding all the offenses. If I'm sleepy, I should stand up. Not that I'm, you know, falling asleep during my japa. We should really understand that this japa is the most important thing we do every day. The quality of our japa will make or break our Krishna consciousness. So strive diligently for first-class japa every day. Read something from the books, especially Bhagavatam in the morning. Read Bhagavatam in the morning. And then honor prasadam nicely. If you have time, worship the Tulsi Devi also. Whatever your time allows. If you have time to sing do the Tulsi Arati, that's very good. I personally always do the Gravastakam Tulsi Arati every day. Because the Tulsi prayers are very, very deep. Very, very, very deep. We're begging Vrinda Devi to bring us back to our original pure state of Krishna consciousness. So these prayers should be sung not mechanically, but with great feeling. They have power, they have potency. Vrinda Devi can hear us. You see, she can hear us. We are coming and begging her mercy, offering our obeisances to her, and begging that she can bring us back to our original pure state of bhakti. So we have to really beg with all sincerity and sing very beautifully and sweetly to attract her mercy. In this way, we'll find that every day as we do these wonderful activities given to us by Prabhupada, actually they're coming from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is not Prabhupada's invention. He is giving us what is coming down from the previous acharyas. By doing these activities every day and then throughout the day try to absorb everything in Krishna's service, then we'll find that we become progressively, step by step, more and more intensely, deeply absorbed in Krishna Smaranam. There's actually a million and one tricks how to do it, but I'm just giving you a few. There's a million and one tricks. Memorizing verses. Just like this morning, I memorized a verse. Memorizing verses is a gateway to go. I just memorized a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 1106. Mitram cha sadam cha bacho hi vagmita iti. You know that? Anyone know that slok? Very nice. You know that slok? It means essential truth spoken concisely is true eloquence. Mitram cha sadam cha vacho hi vagmita iti. You see. So we have to learn to appreciate this incredible wisdom that's coming in Prabhupada's books. I mean, wow, that's what an amazing verse. Essential truth spoken concisely is true eloquence. Where do you find any poets talking like that? You see. Our Vaishnava poets, they are the greatest poets. So you can appreciate this poetry of the Vedic wisdom. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Instruction.
you can appreciate the beautiful poetry, you see. It's like I always quote that verse, samashrataye palapallava plavam mahatpadam punyajasho marare bhavambadir vatsaparam padam 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 nyanva padam nateshaam. Such beautiful poetry, you see. So in this way, we have a whole culture. Art, drama, music, philosophy, history, cuisine, dress style, festivals. We have a whole culture, Vaishnava culture, which is meant to take us deeper and deeper and deeper into Krishna Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you see. So take advantage of it. Tilak is one of the best things we can do. Some years ago, before I took up initiating disciples, I was working a part-time job to support our preaching center. I was a salesman for a major U.S. corporation doing sales over the telephone. So when I got hired, I went in completely, you know, undercover. My neck beads were hidden inside my collar, and I had no tilak. Probably my hair was grown out. I can't remember that. But then one day I says, enough is enough, you know. Tilak is me. I am tilak. And this going without tilak is so artificial. So one day I just wore my tilak to work. And that day I sold like anything. I was racking in those sales, you know. And my boss came up at the end of the day. He said, Mr. Bridge, that's my Karmi name. It's like Bridge Basi. I was really happy I found that coincidence. My Karmi name is Bridge, like Bridge Basi. And I went, wow, what a great mercy to be Bridge. Even in the material world, I was a Bridge Basi. He said, Mr. Bridge, he said, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but you must wear it every day. So in this way, you see, even the little things, wearing tilak, do whatever you can to connect yourself with Krishna at every minute, you see? This is the secret. Okay. Is it an offense if a student under shelter requests from his spiritual master, to chant on his beads? No, it's not an offense. You can ask. He may do it, he may not do it, but it's not an offense to ask. He may say, wait for your diksha. Or he may do it. You have to take that chance of getting yes or no. Okay, Hare Krishna Gurudev. How to increase our enthusiasm for spiritual activities like chanting during the early morning hours? Thank you. Well, Prabhupada gave me I was talking with your temple president last night, Sriman Haridev Prabhu. And I told him about this instruction I'd gotten from Prabhupada. This instruction is very, very powerful. When I was a young brahmachari, Prabhupada gave me this instruction. And I've been following it for 41 years, and I tell you, it really, really works. It's powerful instruction. Because I had been recruited by one of the most amazing sannyasis in the history of ISKCON, His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami. His name and fame are still being vibrated around ISKCON. They make, you know, websites for him. You know, his fame is still being vibrated in ISKCON. So he was really into spreading Krishna consciousness, and every moment was like a festival with him. It was a constant festival. You didn't need to go to some big kirtan mela in Germany to be at a festival. Just being with him, you're already at a festival. I mean, that's how it was. At every minute, being with him, you're at a festival. Just the two of you, you're at a festival. That's how powerful he was. So being inspired by him, I was unlucky or lucky that I did not get to sit in the yajna and Prabhupada hand me the beads. You can say, oh, you were unlucky. But actually, I take it as my greatest fortune. Because Prabhupada had gone, by the time I got recommended, Prabhupada had headed to London He'd been in the U.S., but then he headed to London. And from London, he came down to Nairobi. So I missed having been able to sit in the yagi with Prabhupada, but he initiated me by mail. He chanted my beads in London, and he mailed them to Texas, along with an initiation letter. I got my name via the U.S. Postal Service and my beads by the U.S. Postal Service, by separate post. So I took it as a great blessing that, you know, wow, now I get to write Prabhupada a letter to send my dakshina. I get to personally write a letter to Prabhupada. What a great mercy. Wow. How fortunate I am. Normally, you just, you know, you get your beads, you give the dakshina, and that's it. But since Prabhupada is on the other side of the planet, I had to write him a letter and send my dakshina. Wow, what a great mercy. So I told Prabhupada in my letter, just being inspired by Vishnu Jana Swami, I said, Srila Prabhupada, I want to spread this movement. I told Prabhupada like that, because I was so inspired by Vishnu Jana Swami's move. So he wrote me back. He said, I can see that you are a very sincere and enthusiastic boy. Now, if you will continue enthusiastically as you were doing, surely Krishna will bless you. Now, what do they say about the Guru's order? What do we read? You should take the order of your spiritual master as your very life and soul. So I decided, okay, I'm going to do this. Prabhupada told me you have to always be enthusiastic. He noted me for being an enthusiastic devotee, and he ordered me to always be enthusiastic. And he guaranteed me if I did so, I would get the blessings of Krishna. So I decided to go for it and to always be enthusiastic in all conditions, the good condition, the bad conditions, the beautiful situations, and the ugly situations which sometimes happen in our movement. Let's be honest. Always be enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness. And you know what? It worked. Krishna's blessings showering on me constantly for 41 years, you see. And they're still showering. I'm in the shower of Krishna's mercy at every minute because I'm always following Prabhupada's instruction to be enthusiastic. So, how to increase your enthusiasm? Just be enthusiastic. Well, I don't feel like being enthusiastic. Don't care if you feel like it or not, do it anyway. Whether you feel enthusiasm or not, do it enthusiastically, and the enthusiasm will come. You may say, but Prabhu, that's artificial. Well, you don't know the story of Gargamuni then. That's your objection. You don't know the story of Gargamuni Das, or Bhakta Greg at the time. He was one of the very, very, very fortunate souls who joined at 26 Second Avenue. I'm still envious of them. My dear Prabhus, and who joined at 20, I tell you, I'm so envious of them. But what can you do? You have to just worship them. They had some special qualification to join at 26 Second Avenue. And I had to wait a few years. Yeah. But anyway, Prabhupada would come down every night, not on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. He would come down from his apartment. How many of you have been to 26 Second Avenue? You've seen it? There's a little courtyard behind the storefront. And the other side of the courtyard, there's an apartment. So Prabhupada lived in a second floor apartment on the other side of the courtyard. He'd come down the steps, across the courtyard. In the back, there's two doors of the storefront, the front door on the street and a back door. You come off the courtyard and there's a little back door out through the hallway. You come into the storefront. So Prabhupada would come down the stairs, come through the courtyard, come in. He was Swamiji then. We didn't call him Prabhupada yet. Swamiji would come in through the door, and what do you do when the spiritual master enters the room? You bow down. See, that's the etiquette. When you see your guru, you bow down. So everybody bowed down, except for Greg. This was the younger brother of Brahmananda. Greg, or who later became Gargamuni, he did not bow down. So in the question and answers, he said, Swamiji, when you enter the room, everyone bows down. But I do not bow down because I don't feel that it's natural. Is that okay, Swamiji? Prabhupada said, you should bow down. And he said, by doing it, then the natural feeling will come. So I don't feel like being enthusiastic, Prabhu. Do it anyway. Do it as if you were enthusiastic. Chant your japa as if it was the topmost nectar you ever experienced in millions and billions of lives. Actually, it is, but we don't realize it. Chant your japa as if you're getting, for the first time in all of eternity, your own personal meeting with Krishna. Now you're personally meeting with Krishna. Take everything. Now I get to see Krishna. Here he is, Sri Radha Golokananda. I had this opportunity to personally see God. How fortunate I am, you see. In this way, even if you don't feel the enthusiasm, go ahead and just be enthusiastic. And you know what? Those feelings will come. Guaranteed by Prabhupada. Okay. Looks like that's it. All right, one more. Hurry up. Yesterday in the gift shop of the temple, in your always preaching mood with a newcomer, you were convincing him to buy japa beads while chanting Hare Krishna on the first two beads. Yeah. As you were jealous of the 26 second heaven devotees, I was jealous of his beads. Will you please chant on my beads? Well, I'll have to think about that. What's better for you? You see, it might be, if I make you wait until you're initiated, it might help you to be impetus for you to become qualified. It's like dangling the carrot in front of the donkey, you know. Yeah, I could chant on your beads, but if I say, okay, now you're fully qualified. Oh, you took out your earrings. That's very good. Now you're becoming more qualified. I wanted him to give up his earrings before he got initiated. And I see he's given up his earrings today. That's very nice, you see. That's very nice. So, I'll have to consult with Guru Mata. She's mine. I take it just like Sandi Pani Muni took advice from his wife. I also take advice from my wife and these kind of things. We'll have to decide what's best for your Krishna consciousness. If making you wait makes you, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder, you see. If it'll increase the intensity of your desire to take shelter of the spiritual master to wait, we may make you wait. But at least I could touch your beak, you know. You know. Maybe compromise. I'll consult with Guru Mata and see. But it's certainly a legitimate request. As normally it's done at the time of initiation. Now sometimes devotees would lose their beads and they would ask Prabhupada to chant on them, and again he would do that. Even another set. You know, can you please chant another set of beads for me? You see. By Krishna's grace, I still have my original beads that Prabhupada chanted on. I've never lost them. So I'll consult with Guru Mata and we'll see what she says. But I'm very, very pleased to see how you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. I'm very, very pleased how you have served us so nicely this week. And so I have all mercy and blessings upon you, Bhakta Sandeep. So we'll stop here. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Shrimad Shankarshan Das Adhikari Maharaj ki.
Yeah.